for this week's Lagnapod. I'm one of your hosts, Ashley Trice. Our dear co-host, Rob Holbert's out on a fishing boat this week, so he will...
That's tough, man.
He will, he will not be joining us, and we hope he catches enough fish to bring back to us. But I'm here with the usual crew.
Dale Leash.
Scott Johnson.
Tommy Hicks.
And we are here to talk about all kinds of fun things, from police chiefs and court backlogs and movie stars and the Jaguars and movie stars and Jaguars. Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Oh, my. I knew that was coming.
Yeah. Anyway, so Dale and Scott, y'all worked on a story together this week on the new police chief and also the interim chief retiring. So, Dale, why don't you start off with sort of what the council did this
week? Yeah. The council, Mobile City Council approved, confirmed the appointment of Paul Prine as police chief. He was Mayor Sandy Stimson's appointment. To officially replace Lawrence Batiste at the position. It was a unanimous decision by the council. There was no, you know, in the past, readers will remember that appointments were sometimes like a sticky issue with the council, right. The mayor. You had the saga over the police chief, the fire chief it was 8 years ago now, seven years ago.
We didn't have a fire chief for like
2 years. And we've gone through a bevy of public safety directors in that time too. But
it seems like that's where you when you're going out to pasture as police chief, that's when
it's time for Mayor Stimson to make a change at police chief, he promotes somebody instead of getting rid of him. Absolutely. Yes. Not to take anything away from Lawrence Batiste. That was more of a, he needed to replace Barber, who became chief of staff.
Right.
But in other cases, if you're done with as police chief, you get promoted.
Yeah.
So Paul Prine is officially now the new police chief. He has promised to bring professionalism to the department. The council, I mean, it's funny that, and I joked with a city staff member about this, last week as well, but CJ Small and to his credit, CJ Small was just trying to be as honest, I think, as possible. But CJ Small kind of said the quiet part loud when he was like, you know, I was really hoping for somebody with, some knowledge of, what it's like to live in, you know, poorer neighborhoods, to have to deal with police on a semi to more regular basis,
right,
than somebody like, you know, that they've hired in the past for that position. So he wanted them to go outside of the department and look for somebody with some bona fides in that respect. But they actually found somebody within the department. CJ Small characterized it like this. He talked to Paul Prine, and Paul Prine basically like, I lived in Alabama Village for 19 years.
Right.
And Small was like, oh, sold.
Yeah.
All right. You got it. So that's kind of, and you heard similar things from other council members.
Yeah,
a lot of respect
kinda,
there.
I'm surprised that they were, you know, sort of all gushing about him. You know, they're not often, so much unity on.
It was a completely unanimous decision. The only reason it didn't pass last week was because John Williams wanted to take Paul Prine out for breakfast first and talk to him. So he did that, and he said that they absolutely made the right decision.
And I saw where Fred Richardson was like, he gives his gives constituents phone numbers.
And if you guys remember from the mayoral races, that's what Fred's big thing was,
right,
for police was, you're going to know who your beat officer is. You're going to get a cell phone number, and you can call him at any time. So I think he kind of got that idea from what Paul Prine was doing at his community meetings, giving out a cell phone number, giving out his introducing himself to the people, making it so that they know. And the idea there is, if you know somebody, you're less likely to rough them up, so to speak, if you're having an altercation with them, or
right,
you're more likely, if you're the citizen, to give information that would help reduce crime.
Right.
So they're really looking for a crime reduction.
Well, and so he was one of six candidates or five?
He was one of six candidates, right, and it was a wide range of candidates, all from within,
which is
pretty amazing when you think about it. They didn't have any outside candidates, and you had a panel, and Scott can talk to this a little bit more when we get to it, but they had a panel of Dan Lumpkin, who's the sort of like the hiring consultant for the city. Mm-hmm. You had, I think, Lawrence Batiste, and you had James Barber, so you had public safety director and the mayor's chief of staff in on the decision as well.
Right.
But that decision to overlook a very conspicuous candidate in the interim chief.
Right, interim chief.
Caused some problems.
Yeah, so it ruffled some feathers. So Scott, what happened with, he had a story that he retired.
And it's Roy Hodge.
Yeah. What did I say?
No, you didn't say anything. We hadn't mentioned him yet. Roy Hodge was the interim chief.
Okay. Yeah. I keep wanting to call him Glenn Hodge for some reason.
Well, Glenn Hodge works for the county or did.
Yeah. Okay, that's one. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, yeah. Glenn.
So after a 38-year career, Roy Hodge turned in his resignation after the appointment of Prine. We saw on some other reporting that he had mentioned to other reporters that he said he believed he kind of maxed out where he could go. He can't go any farther.
I mean, if you're the
chief and then you want to go take a step back down.
I mean, he was assistant chief and then he went to chief and he went back down to assistant chief. He's right. He's pretty much hit his ceiling.
Right. Yeah. Well, unfortunately we couldn't reach him to ask him ourselves, but I did see that out there. We followed up with some rumors. There were some rumors that he might be getting a job at the 911 board or the sheriff's office, and in both those offices quickly dismissed that. So we don't really know where Hodge is directed or if he's planning on just enjoying his retirement.
Yeah, well, you know, there's always going to be something like that when you have a big hiring process.
Most of the time, guys like that will take their city retirement and go do another agency.
A smaller department will have a chief position open up or something like that.
Absolutely. You know? He'll wind up at Fairhope or Spanish Fort or somewhere like that soon, I'm sure.
Well, I have noticed a couple of new one of our ad reps said that they were pulling people over for traffic stops, which I haven't seen in years around here. Just yesterday she said they were doing that. And then also they had a prostitution sting last night, and I haven't seen that. And probably, it's been a while since we've had one of those. So I wonder if this is the new direction or if it just, these plans were already on the books or whatever. Have they spoken any to like what his vision is for the department?
No, but I do think that there was some discord in the police department, especially over a story that Gabe did, where he's doing something on the animal shelter, and it was kind of an internal conflict between officers in that story.
Right.
I think that kind of maybe led people in this direction to actually go a different direction. I think there was just some internal discord that the mayor's office wanted to nip in the bud, and I think that they thought Prine was maybe the best candidate for that. Also, which I found unusual, maybe other people didn't, they actually grilled the candidates in like mock press conferences where they had the communications.
Like if they were in some big like PR disaster or something like that.
The city's communication staff had to act as reporters. And we know at least one of them was a former reporter, so I'm sure he got a kick out of that. But they would basically gave a scenario and they said read the scenario and then answer questions about it. And
Will you hand over the body camera footage? Right. What was the answer to that one?
Well, if you want the job, you have to say no.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what happens.
Only if it makes us look good.
Only if it absolves us of everything we've done wrong. So that was one of the things that I thought was interesting was that they actually put him through a pretty rigorous training process. I think they said they had 140 page dossiers on each candidate. So they did their homework on this. And like I said, I think the city council was happy with it.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm just, there was a big controversy, under the Jones administration, there were roadblocks all the time. These traffic stops where, they would check your license, check your, if you had any outstanding warrants on
right.
That was, one of the things Stimson sort of stopped doing, and a lot of people, have said, well, maybe we need to bring that back because of all the illegal guns and blah, blah, blah.
There's that. And then also the Jones administration also had this thing where they would go into like do basically sweeps of neighborhoods where they would, they would just pick people up for random things. And the problem with that was they weren't necessarily targeting them in you know, every neighborhood, because you right. couldn't do that in some neighborhoods. People would be out just absolutely outraged. Yeah. So they stopped that too. And I think that there is, and I'm not saying we should bring any of that back. I kind of like not having the roadblocks.
I mean, you never can win. You know, it's like you take them, you have them, everybody complains, you take them away, everybody's like, well, we got all this crime now.
There's got to be a middle ground, yeah. and hopefully they can strike that balance. Because right now, you're right. I rarely see anybody pulled over.
Really? Yeah. But also every day we get a crime report every morning and there's a shooting.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Multiple shootings.
Absolutely.
Usually.
So, absolutely.
I mean, even if they are not fatal, there's usually someone shot overnight.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, we've got to take a quick break and we will be right back with sports with Tommy Hicks.
Hero Sports Bar and Grill now open 7 days a week at both locations. Ask about our new hot wings, the Singapore Sting and the Nature Boy.
Woo!
Come have a clipper at Heroes, Mobile's own since 1998. Hero Sports Bar and Grill now offers curbside 7 days a week. Call 433-HERO for Dolphin Street or 341-WING for Hillcrest. Try our kick-ass spinach and crawfish dip. And thanks for supporting Heroes, a Mobile original since 1998.
And we are back with the second segment of the Lagna Pod, which is always the sports section with sports editor Tommy Hicks. How are you, Tommy?
I'm good.
Did you survive the darkest day of sports history in Alabama?
Did anybody really survive it? I think you just try to move along.
Well, misery loves company.
It does.
Yes. And so, I mean, all my Auburn fan friends were very delighted that Alabama lost, like more than, I think they were happier that Alabama lost than they
were sad that they lost.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Total little brother.
If you're going to lose, then go ahead and have the other guy lose too. That makes you feel better.
I mean, that's how, you know, when we had the mics, that's how I felt.
But
if we're
going
to lose.
The heartbreaking loss of my Jags, four overtime.
Yeah. Well, that was not good.
Yeah.
They did not play well. I mean, it's just that simple. They did not play well. And, Kane Womack was the first to say that right after the game. I mean,
yeah, because we were supposed to win this one, right? So what do you think happened there?
They just quit making plays.
Oh.
They lost some momentum. They were up 14 in the second half. They tried a flea flicker, which was a Bentley handed off to Brian Hill, the running back, who took a couple of steps in and then was to pitch it back to Bentley, who was going to throw it downfield to hopefully a wide open receiver. Unfortunately, when Hill pitched it back, he pitched it back to a defensive player, and that kind of changed things.
How are we feeling about Bentley at this point in the season?
I mean, he's been good. I mean, they've got some. It was interesting in overtime. They threw a touchdown pass to Talbert. And that's the first touchdown pass for a wide receiver all season.
Which is nice.
The others have been like to a couple of tight ends and a couple of running backs before that. So, yeah, it was kind of interesting that. But, I mean, to get back to Jake, he's done a good job. Yeah. I mean, he's done all right. He just hadn't. There's nothing flashy there. You know, you haven't seen any of those, like, big bombs. Like you see those, not big bombs for touchdowns, but there have been some good downfield throws to Talbert and Jalen Wayne and some others. So, I mean, you've had that. You just haven't seen that big explosion that I think some people have expected or wanted to see so far.
But we'll all get to see him tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
Because it's not only if you don't go to the game at the bank, you can see it on ESPNU. It's going to be nationally televised. So
this is correct.
It's going to be the Jags versus Georgia State.
Georgia Southern.
Georgia Southern.
A team
they have never
beaten.
Too many teams in Georgia. Sorry, Scott.
Yeah, that's too many.
Yeah.
It's a team they've never beaten, and it's the scores have quite often been ugly. So, yeah, this is one they want to get. They just lost a close game at Troy last week, so they changed their coach in mid-season after four games. They fired the head coach and bumped up another assistant coach who had been a former player there. So we'll see what happens. They've gone like 1-1 under the new guy, I think, or something like that. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I know the bounce back after two straight losses, both of them conference losses for South after getting off to a 3-0 start. So it's just a big game for both of those teams. So hopefully South can get something done because they've got an awful lot of road games and some tough teams coming up in the back half of the season. This will be the sixth game. This will be the halfway point for them.
So this by so fast. It probably did. Not for you, though, huh?
No. No, it's never fast enough.
You know what Georgia Southern's known for, apart from being a party school?
Their motto, gotta, which is get after their ass, and the school bus. They used to, when they originally started, they took the teams on actual school buses. That's how they made their trips. Funny. And so they have a school bus parked. The original school bus that they took, I believe, is parked in the back behind the press box area. They keep it there, and that's where, if you keep up with Sunbelt stuff, the player who was recently kicked off the team that kind of led to the other coach being fired, he jumped up on top and downed a beer, and it was on video and photos, and so he didn't last very long.
Was that but what I'm you sure were
there's something
about?
Else that you're referring
well, this
to.
Is little, probably less known, but they're big Ultimate Frisbee school.
So, really?
Yeah. That's a.
I didn't know
Scott
a big
is
ultimate.
Our he's originally from Georgia, yeah, so he's Georgia our native. Georgia expert here.
So. Well, see, that's interesting because they run the triple option, so they never throw. So they, I guess they have the ultimate frisbee where they can get some passing.
Yeah, all the throwers go to the ultimate frisbee club.
Oh, okay, good.
Well, Tommy, let's see what. I mean, is Nick Saban safe, or will he be fired?
I don't
know.
It's going to be close. It's going to be.
Really you know
close.
What? You know what? Though. You know what? Like, I've seen people on message, and they're stupid people. I've seen people on message boards talk about that he needs to be fired. Nick Saban is never.
Don't you think those are just trolls trying to?
I hope so. Well, no one's that stupid, yeah. Right?
I hope not.
He will never be fired. In fact, he might just ascend into football heaven. That's how good. Of a football coach, he is.
Wow,
I love
Nick Saban.
Just go back
he
to your
can't
shrine.
Be invited into such conversations. Why do we do that?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't understand.
Tommy, I'm sorry. Please forgive me for that. Can you just tell me what went wrong for Alabama last week?
They lost.
Yes,
they're not supposed to.
They straight up.
I mean,
got
that's
beat.
The whole thing. Yeah.
They were just out coached.
Everybody's
going
everybody's crazy. To be fair, I was just covering the Jags, so I wasn't able to watch the game. But I've seen some highlights, and I mean, it's just one of those things. I mean, it's the first time he's lost in, you know, since 1847. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've got two words for Bill O'Brien going forward. Hot route. Please, for the love of God, set up a hot route so that when they overload the box on us next time, we can get rid of the ball before Bryce Young has to, you know, meet his maker. Let's hot route.
All right. Coach Leach, thank you for your input
well,
there.
Well, he wasn't answering the question. I figured out.
Wow.
Well, I did. You know, this is the first one of the assistants to beat Saban. And I did say to my husband, I was like, I bet this is the one. If he had to pick which one to beat him, this would be the one he
yeah,
would choose.
Yeah, because I love Lane Kiffin. He would have been unbearable.
Oh, gosh.
So,
yeah.
So I'm glad it's Jimbo.
I wonder if there's like, you know, if they all texted each other. And there's going to be a secret dinner somewhere where, you know. They all buy Jimbo dinner somewhere. Yeah.
I thought it was going to be Kirby Smart. I really did. I thought it would have been later this season.
He might be number two.
Yeah, he might be number two. He probably will be.
But
yeah.
They're going to be so. They play better, you know, after they get beat once. So, you know, they'll be motivated.
I wouldn't want to be Mississippi State.
No, right now. Or the rest of the year. Now everything means something.
That timing is really bad.
So Saban's won six titles with Alabama. Four of those teams had one loss, just to put it in perspective. So this is not uncharted territory
if
for Alabama.
Keeping up with that, yeah.
What did I keep?
That was a hot take to go with a hot route.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hot routes. Bill O'Brien, if you listen to Lagnapod,
he does
hot routes.
He texts me all the time and says, "Who's his Dale character?"
Yeah.
When's the last time they lost to an unranked team?
2007, Louisiana Monroe. Saban's first year.
I think they lost to Auburn before.
Were they unranked? Maybe it was okay.
That was
right.
Unranked.
Okay.
That was the last unranked team.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
No, that's what we're talking about, too. I think Auburn was unranked one time when they
beat
them earlier.
With the pick six one? Or, I don't know.
No, they were ranked in the kick six.
I can't remember the year, but I think
never bring up kick six in my presence.
Kick six, maybe the greatest play in college history.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I don't have to like it.
Speaking of Auburn, they had a tough week as well, but that was pretty much expected.
Too, people.
Yeah, that was expected because of Georgia is saying,
It was expected, and you know, to some people that have talked about it, you know, it wasn't as bad as they thought it was going to be. I mean, 34-10, you just shouldn't.
It could have been closer. There were a lot of drops.
There were. So,
Scott, this is your.
We'll see how
Scott's
they do.
Scott's a Georgia fan, so this is your time to gloat. Do you want to? He did mention he bought a cable or whatever so he could see Alabama get beat.
So. Yeah, I saw them winning at halftime, so I went and bought a subscription so I could watch it on my phone. So. Yeah. Is great to watch.
Yeah,
but
I get it.
Auburn did score first, so that's the only thing I've been hearing from Georgia fans is Auburn struck first. Which
but
is,
it was a field goal. Who cares? You're not going to beat Georgia with a field goal.
I guess Georgia fans just think that
they want the shutdown defense to continue. I get it.
Yeah, I mean,
Tommy, I'm going to put you on the spot, and I'm sure Dale will jump in. But so if Alabama and Georgia played today, what are we looking? Who do you think would win?
I'd have to go with Georgia right now.
Georgia would boat race Alabama right now.
Wow.
Boat race us.
Wow. All
right.
I can't wait for Bill O'Brien to get in contact with you.
As a Georgia fan, I've learned never to get my hopes up. So I'm not going to jump in.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
We'll be unstoppable next year. This year, we're beatable.
College football, what do we have going on in high school football? Any big games this week?
Yeah, a lot of big games just in terms of because you've only got 3 weeks of regular season left and everybody's kind of jockeying for position as a playoff team or trying to make the playoffs altogether. A lot of big games involving teams that are sitting at number one in their region to try and hold that number one spot.
Like that Fairhope Theodore, that – isn't that
Fairhope Theodore? Yeah. Fairhope moved to number one. They won and they moved to number one in the region. And now they've got Baker this week, which is also a big game because Baker, if they win, I think that would be like all three of those teams would have one loss and it would, in the region.
It's like a round robin.
It would go to a tiebreaker system. And gosh knows how many.
They just flip a coin how to that see would who go. Gets that.
Yeah, if it's two teams in a tiebreaker, it's just head to head. And that's easy to figure out. If you beat them during regular season, then you're seated above them.
Right.
But when it's three teams and everybody is beating the other team, if Baker wins this week, it would be Baker would have beaten Fairhope, Fairhope would have beaten Theodore, and Theodore would have beaten Baker. So
I feel like in that situation that Dale Lee should get to pick who the winner of the region is.
I don't think you should be involved ever in any kind of important decision when it comes to sports.
I agree with that. And on that note, I think we're going to have to end our sports segment because of Dale. And we'll come back with our final segment of this week's lineup.
Hero Sports Bar and Grill now open 7 days a week at both locations. Ask about our new hot wings, the Singapore Sting and the Nature Boy.
Woo!
Come have a clipper at Heroes, Mobile's own since 1998. Hero Sports Bar and Grill now offers curbside 7 days a week. Call 433-HERO for Dolphin Street or 341-WING for Hillcrest. Try our kick-ass spinach and crawfish dip. And thanks for supporting Heroes, a Mobile original since 1998.
And we're back for the final segment of this week's Lightning Climb. A beautiful week on the Gulf Coast. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. We've got Greek Fest coming up. It's supposed to be in the 50s.
Temps are going to be in the 50s. I'm excited.
Yeah, I saw it's supposed to drop temperature.
So get your boots out, ladies, to wear for 2 days and then put them right back up.
Do ladies still do the cowboy boots and the athletic shorts or the boots and the athletic shorts and the long sleeve shirts, or is that just a college thing?
I think it's a college thing. Okay. I think it's like the Visco girl or something like that. I don't know. I'm old. I don't know these things. But I do want to get back to Scott. You had another story this week, a little bit of a back and forth between the county commission and the DA's office and the judges. So obviously the courts are backed up. It's been hard to panel a jury because of COVID, and the jail is apparently full. But one county commissioner, the newest one, Randall Dewitt, kind of made some off the cuff remarks. Why don't you tell us about that and then what the back and forth and all that's been about?
Yeah. So he essentially said, judges need to get back to work. So he, you know, he's coming from the perspective of the amount, the growing amount of pending cases, as well as the, not the amount of people in the jail, but the conditions in the jail, the kind of prisoners in jail. And the way the sheriff described it, Sam Cochran described it, was you got more felony class A, you know, violent crime criminals in jail. So the conditions.
And they're really not equipped for that.
Yeah. 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 So it's, and then you're just not getting them, you're not able to get them out. So what sparked the comments was, I guess, the 13th Circuit Court released their 2022 trial schedule. And it wasn't what Commissioner Sheriff thought.
They thought
it should,
it should be a little more robust to get people through. So, but the judges are like, wait a minute.
Right.
If you look at our numbers, we've actually, you know, adjudicated more cases than anyone else in the state. Is that sort of what they're saying?
Yeah, the numbers that were provided to me that show that they've been as active, if not more active, than most of the courts.
We just have we've just got more crime down here, so we're busy. It's just the hard truth, I guess.
I thought an interesting stat was, in 2019, our 16 judges did 25,000 cases, and then compared to, I believe it was Montgomery, 30 judges did the same amount. So the judges are, the courts really,
it seems like it's the jury situation that's the harder part.
Yeah.
I noticed in your story, they had 800 people summoned and only 100 showed up.
Yeah.
Are they giving them some sort of out on the letter saying, if you feel uncomfortable because of COVID, you don't have to show up? Because if you give anyone an out for jury duty, they're going to be like, well, I do feel uncomfortable. very uncomfortable.
That is what it sounded like. The way
they said they were going to reword the summons or whatever. So
that is what it sounded like, the way DeWitt described it. And then there was also some issues with the Civic Center they've been using for social distancing, because you can't recycle jurors in that setting for some reason.
You would think they would be able to more because you have more room, but I don't know.
Right.
Interesting.
Or maybe it's just the sanitizing, or who knows. Yeah. But anyway, so what do you? Where are we with that? Are they? They're just going to keep doing what they're doing and try to get through as quickly as possible.
Yeah, it sounds like it's been, at least according to the presiding judge, it sounds like the trial schedule has been really misunderstood. So it sounds like they've structured it more like a contingency. If COVID's bad, they've got a plan. Bottom line, we're going to do this much.
Right.
If it's not bad, then they're looking at being wide open.
Right.
So
hopefully... knock on wood, we're through this last variant and we'll get speedy justice back.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, turn in the page a little bit to something a little more, not exciting, that's exciting, but a little more fun, glamorous. So Rob and I were joking yesterday. We should have put on the cover Mobbywood. Yes, instead of Hollywood. Mobile has become quite the film capital of Alabama, as one person put it. And we've all known we've got the film About My Father, starring Robert De Niro and Kim Cattrall, and I'm blanking on Mrs. Ricky Bobby's real name, Leslie Babb.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, so they're all in town shooting this movie that sounds like, and Sebastian Maniscalco, I'm sorry, I'm butchering that, but he's a comedian. His stand-up is on Netflix right now. But he wrote the movie and he stars in it, and he's probably getting the least amount of credit. But they've been all around. I know they were at the Country Club in Mobile on Tuesday. They were at Steelwood a couple of weeks ago. Lots of country club scenes.
They were at the yoga studio in Oakley a couple weeks ago. Yeah, right down from my house.
And some houses on Lemoyne Place, I think.
So. Yeah.
It sounds like some people are getting some money for it too. Yeah. So if they're on your street or blocking your driveway, they're just handing out cash to keep you happy.
Wow.
And so the reason we're getting this, and part of the reason we're getting this, are the incentives that the state has put in place. Tell us a little bit about that, and is it enough?
Right. So I think the big reason
we're seeing, or we could see some more films, is because of the backup in some of the larger film markets.
Like Atlanta, New Orleans.
New Orleans, Chicago. And so they're just maxed out.
So you can't even get the equipment. Is that how it is? That
yeah. One of the producers told me that he believes Louisiana's tax incentive has been tied up through 2026.
Oh, because they've already exhausted it.
Yeah, so they've already kind of committed out. So, so the next best choice, it looks like Mobile is the next best thing. And I think there's an opportunity there.
We always love being sloppy seconds. You know?
Yes. Do not mind it in this case at all. No. Yeah.
So it might mean a lot more films coming here. But to get that, you'd have to have the incentive structure, tax incentive structure to support it. So that's what I was constantly hearing from producers and people working these films.
Well, they would just, if they had it their way, it'd just be unlimited. But right now, what is it, $20 million?
$20 million, yeah. And so there's some, and tied into that, there's some contingencies to incentivize hiring locally. So you get 35% back on your taxes if they're local hires. Whereas if you bring them out of state, I think it's like 25. So
is that just, I mean, could that be extras or anyone on the film?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So any payroll.
Cause I mean, that was like, you know, there's not a ton of movie type people around here who could be, you know,
right.
Like editors and casting right. people, but.
Yeah, it's I talked to Sam Lumpkin. He runs a
Scott.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Scott Lumpkin, and he runs a studio in Daphne, and he's actually a really big deal. And that one thing he was saying is that they can hire local film crews, and if someone's coming to film, you know, he's one of the first people they call, like, hey, put us together a team. You know, and stuff like that. One of the issues with not having high enough tax incentive, what Scott was explaining was that makes the film market a little inconsistent.
Right.
And so it means that if we, you know, he was saying in 2018 or 2019, our tax cap got reached, and then all the shooting left.
Right.
So, which means all the people who had jobs here or growing interest in the industry.
Staying around, yeah.
Well, then that just left too.
Right.
So if you want to cement a local workforce, local film crews,
right,
and all that stuff, people who are growing in the trade, going to school, maybe at one of these local universities, you got to have a cemented presence and growing that cap. You know, people have talked about growing it to 80 million, something like that. The way it stands now, I was told that our tax cap, if nothing else was being done, shot, it could support about four or five about my father's size films.
Oh.
So, and then you'd probably reach the cap, you know. So, and then what Scott was saying, he's saying, I know of six or seven projects.
Right. And you need it. And, you would need them to be scheduled year round for the people to stick around. Yeah. So
you need year round filming for these people.
Well,
good paying jobs too. I mean, see, he was saying that you can get paid $28 to $32 an hour on a about my father kind of film.
Right.
If it's big blockbuster, you're looking at $50 an hour. Well, I will say
my little daughter was an extra one day because she, you know, thinks she wants to be an actress one day. So we let her do it. And she got $125. I was I was like, all right, maybe if your little, this will pay for itself, we'll keep going. Yeah.
how many hours did she?
Now, of course, she was there from like 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Okay. So it's a long day.
She earned it.
It's a long day of just sitting. It's a lot of hurry up and wait. But so we have had, you know, a lot of sightings around town. Here, De Niro's been spotted at the Hope Farm eating, the Hummingbird Way eating, and then Kim Cattrall was at Red or White. Have y'all heard any scoop around?
I have not. I have not heard anything. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, from the city's perspective, you know, do we have any? Do they have any input on this on these incentives or anything?
Well, they have a. The city has a film office, right?
Which is critical for this.
Yeah. And industry. I think they help with the scouting of locations and stuff occasionally too. Yeah. They had a big, I know they've had a big part in other movies that have gone out. I don't know what the lobbying looks like for the tax incentives, for the movies. I'm not sure. I haven't kept up with that, But I'm sure the city would be a big fan of
right.
more films coming yeah. in. I so think whatever this is that what takes.
We should do a Walk of Fame, you know, like the Hollywood, the stars. And instead of stars, we have azaleas. And we put all the big name film people like in the azaleas on our own little Mobbywood.
Mobbywood.
Walk of Fame.
I like it. I like it. You should get that started.
Great idea.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us this week. And we will be back next week, hopefully full of fish that Rob caught for us and brought back to the office and then he shares. But we want you to have a great weekend and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. The Lagnapod is a Something Extra publishing production. Executive producers are Rob Holbert and Ashley Trice. Music is by Sun Pulse Sound and Electro Animals. Only subscribers like you have access to this podcast. Tell your friends they can sign up at my.wingatmobile.com. For advertising opportunities, please call 251-450-4466.